Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with where he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Lord, bless your word today. Be seated in Jesus' name. Three things I want you to get from today's passage that we read. Number one, dead in trespasses. Secondly, but God. And thirdly, made alive. Say that with me. Dead in trespasses, but God, and made alive. Those three thoughts, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get that today. Verse 1, Paul simply tells us that we were dead. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, that's past tense for you. If you've never been radically transformed by the power of God, then you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, in chapter 1, we learned a lot of things. In fact, there's a theme throughout Ephesians that runs wild. It's the theme of predestination, foreordination, predetermined. In chapter 1, we see that God predestined us to be sons and daughters of God through adoption. He adopted us and brought us into his family. We see in verse 11 of chapter 1 that he works out all things after the counsel of his own will and pleasure. And how from the foundations of the earth, from before the foundations of the earth, he predestined us to be people of God. And then he talks about us being the body of Christ. We walk and live in resurrection power. And then he goes into verse 1 of chapter 2 and he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. What is he doing here? What he's doing is giving us the method of salvation. So many people have a misunderstanding about how salvation works and even what salvation really is. Salvation is not just being saved. You know, I heard someone say one time, handing out a tract and witnessing to folks, a friend of mine, they asked him, are you saved? And handed him a gospel tract. And he said, saved from what? And of course, the person handing the tract was dumbfounded. They've never been asked that question because here in the Bible Belt, we understand what it means to be saved, right? But so many people all over the world and even this country and even around you today have no idea what that means. Salvation goes far beyond being saved. Salvation is being healed and delivered spiritually and transformed and changed and regenerated, born again, justified, sanctified. All of those things encompass salvation. But the method, how does it come, is so misunderstood amongst the body of Christ. So many people think that, well, I have a decision to make. I need to start living right. And I'm just going to go to church on Sunday and I think I'll get saved. That does not happen. Never happens. Many have the idea that you're saved by grace and that you stay saved by good works. As long as you go to church and you serve on the usher committee and you teach Sunday school or you go to Sunday school or you do these things, then, well, that means you will stay saved. But the reality is, the method of salvation is that you were, and some watching and listening maybe are, dead in trespasses and sins. And you would not be here today, born again, saved, unless the Lord Himself initiated a call in your life and gave you the ability to believe on His name. That's the only way that you can be made alive. And He goes through this, look with me, in verse 2, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's Lucifer himself. The devil is not in hell this morning. He's roaming the spirit world. He's the prince of the power of the air. So when you feel oppression and depression and anxiety and stress, when you feel these things coming upon you so heavily, please remember that you are at war. You are in a battle with the spirit world that is trying to suffocate you spiritually and kill, steal, and destroy. And the one behind it all is the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself. And in verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature, everybody shout nature, the children of wrath. People, listen to me this morning. We can't help but to sin. Whether it's something you do or something you fail to do. We are utterly doomed. Without the help of God. Amen. Utterly. Now there are those who have no consciousness of God. There are those who have no idea that they're living a lifestyle of sin. Do you remember, and this is a good test to see if you've truly been born again, the things that you used to do, well, they bother you now. Now you might slip up and make mistakes, but there is a conviction there. There is the Holy Spirit helping you realize that that type of behavior or that way of thinking is sinful and it bothers you. It convicts you. And that's the Holy Spirit working salvation in you. But those who have never been born again have no idea that they're on a path to destruction. It's by their very nature that they live the way they do. Well, if you have lost loved ones and they're living like hell, you can't blame them for that. It's their nature that they live that way, just like it was your nature to live that way. And you can't pray, God, I want them to make a better decision. You can't counsel them into making a better decision. You have to pray that a holy, righteous God would reach way down into the pit of destruction and convict their heart and their soul. You can hand them gospel tracts. If that would save people, we'd just take all of our budget, rent a helicopter, and throw tracts all over North Carolina. But that does not work. It takes the power of an awesome God to reach down and pull somebody out. Just like He did for you. Salvation has nothing to do with us. Even as the rest. But verse 4, these are my two favorite words of the whole chapter. But God. Can you look back in your life and can you say that I would be here or there or anywhere but God one day reached down into my life, and for most of you, I'm sure it was an unexpected thing that happened. He reached down and grabbed your heart some way, somehow. Some he gave dreams. Some he put the right person at the right place at the right time in their lives. And all of that was the plan, predetermined plan of God. Amen. That you come into the family of God, you see. Amen. But God, hallelujah, being rich in mercy. Aren't you thankful for that? And of his great love with which he loved us. That's been the theme this morning. The love of God in Christ Jesus. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love him because he first loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, I love thee with an everlasting love. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the love of God. Amen. And the mercy of God. Mercy being what holds back what you deserve. You deserve to be dead. In fact, God doesn't have to save anybody. He can rightly, justifiably condemn us all to a sinner's hell. And some focus on that. Well, if God is sovereign, why didn't he just go ahead and save everybody? If he elects, if he predetermines, why don't he just predetermine everybody to be in heaven? I mean, he is a loving God, isn't he? So many people focus on questions that they will never have the answer to. You'll never be able to understand that. You'll never be able to rectify that in your natural, finite, little brain compared to a big God that we serve. Never. But what you can focus on is the fact that a sovereign God would reach down and save you and save me and bring us into this place today to be able to, even with our mouths and with our heart, declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we can be thankful for. But God coming into our lives. Verse 5, even when we were dead. He's emphasizing it. Paul is emphasizing the understanding that salvation can only come if God initiates it. In fact, put your finger there. I want you to go to John chapter 6 with me. And I want to read a few passages here that are so powerful. Look with me. John 6 and verse 44. Jesus declaring that he is indeed the bread of life. That he was the manna that came down in the wilderness when the Israelites were wandering for 40 long years. And he's telling the religious folks of the day, I am the bread of life. And look what he says. I love this. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless... He finally decides he wants to follow me. He makes a decision that he wants to be saved. No. Unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Look at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And I would say it is. Even today it's difficult. But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then, if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning. Let me read it again. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, For this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Can I give you good gospel news today? The fact that you are here this morning, the fact that you're watching this broadcast, listening on the radio, gives me hope to understand that you are being called by God. And I'm telling you, let election and predestination, let it bring you into the family of God and not keep you out. Simply say yes to Jesus and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and call yourself the elect of God and make your calling and election sure by staying in the faith. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. Look at verse 5 again. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive. Oh, hallelujah. He made us alive. We didn't get woke. We didn't have an epiphany intellectually. He made us alive. You see, the reason I say people have a misunderstanding of salvation is because we think we make the decision. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Ghost. Regeneration. Do you realize that happens before you're even born again? Because it's regeneration that makes you alive and actually gives you the faith to be saved. Amen. Calvinists call it election. Arminians call it prevenient grace, whatever that is. Well, it's the power of the Holy Spirit regenerating your dead individual spirit, making it alive enough to take the faith that he's given you. Romans 12, he's dealt every man the measure of faith. You say, well, where do I come in? When you believe. Faith is the gift, and believing is the decision. Amen. And repentance, it's God who grants you repentance according to the scriptures. In other words, he gives you the ability to move in that direction, to have a change of mind, to become a new creation. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why? Because he has taken what was dead and he's made it alive. Just as Christ died upon the cross and became sin, and our sin, your sin, was imputed upon his body, he resurrected, and in resurrection power sends the Holy Spirit to convict your soul, to regenerate you, giving you the faith to grant you repentance. And it's at that point when you say yes to Jesus Christ that something powerful happens. You become born again. Now, you could not be born on your own, John. God brought you into this world. God created the rendezvous with mom and dad. God created and developed you in your mother's womb. And the same way spiritually, God is the one who brings about the born again experience. That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again before you can see the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but this is why I like to shout, Anthony, because but God reached down in my life when I was dead and dark and living unrighteously, and he saved me. We've got something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. You know, everybody I talk to, I just assume they're part of the elect. I just assume it. Because we don't know. We're called to be obedient, not have all the answers. If there's one thing I've learned since being in ministry, you ready for this great revelation? You might want to write it down. That there is a God, and I'm not him. And thank God for that. Hallelujah. He made us alive. I tell you, that's three powerful words in these 10 verses. He made us alive, verse 5. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Oh, God, help me today. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's that language again from chapter 1. Blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places with Christ. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I don't know about you, but the day that anxiety left my life was the day that I truly surrendered to the fact that my life is in his hands. And if my faith is anchored in him, if I get on an airplane, if I go to battle, whatever happens, nothing can happen to me outside of the counsel of his own will. Therefore, if it happens, I embrace it because I'm in his will. And I want to tell you something, that you are in a place with Christ in heavenly places where the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, faith, all these things are produced in your life by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why I cringe when I hear preachers say, you need more fruit. Well, no, you need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he bears the fruit through you. Amen. That's being seated in heavenly places with Christ. And that's how you can love your enemy. You can have joy in the midst of pain. Come on, amen. You can have peace that passes all understanding when the world is crumbling around you. Why? Because you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. You can have long-suffering and patience and endure. Why? Because you know that the trying of your faith works patience. Hallelujah. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. Seated in heavenly places with Christ. Well, I'm going to bring this to an end here. Let's look at verse 7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Notice the language, the ages to come. There's still a future. If he doesn't return tonight, and I don't know about you, but I have lost loved ones. I have friends who need to be saved. And it's not that they confess and live unrighteously. And let me just cover that for a moment. In fact, go to Psalm 103. I may be a few more minutes. I don't know. But you feel free to do what you like. Psalm 103. In fact, while you're turning, Seth is... has just recently broke his... he's got engaged to... I'm sorry, I had to do that. Stand up, Olivia. Let everybody see you. They're engaged to be married. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Psalm 103. Boy, any spirit that was here, I just put a blanket on it, son. All right. Psalm 103, look with me. I want to read these to you. All right. Let me find it. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Now, Silas said earlier when he read the passage, if we've committed sins, I'd boldly said, I'll join you right here, right now. And we can all say that if we're being honest. Folks, here's why people can't receive healing in their minds and their souls. Because we've lost a sense of community in the church. Amen. You come on Sunday morning, I'm here, we shake hands and hug, and that's it. And then you go out to work and you live in hell in the world, and that's the influence on your life. That's why every opportunity we give you to take advantage of being with God's people, you should take it. Whether it's a small group, young adults, whether it's Sunday school, whatever, take advantage of that opportunity. Develop community where you have accountability and help. Because I want to tell you something. Part of healing is hearing that other people are going through the same thing you are, and you're not alone. Because if the enemy wants you to think anything, he wants you to think that you're all by yourself in the way you feel, and that everybody else is happy, and that everybody else is rejoicing. Oh, because you see the pictures on Facebook and whatever. Fake book, that's what I call it. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty of who people really are, you'll see that they have problems just like you. I've got problems just like you. And if I ever get the guts, I'll tell you about some of them. Amen? So don't ask me. Verse 10 of Psalm 103, I'm going to give me just a minute here. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. And can I give you a hint? That's even the ones you haven't committed yet. Amen. Because when he hung suspended between heaven and earth, how many of your sin was in the future tense? Every single one of them. Amen. And just one drop of blood was able to atone and bring you and I at one with God. Amen. In Christ. Amen. But God made us alive. Amen. Pray with me, would you? Heavenly Father, we know that we are sinners in need of saving. And today, Lord, I'm asking you to cleanse us of all sin. Forgive me of unrighteousness. Blessed are we whose sins are covered and whose iniquities are forgiven. And today, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess, Jesus is my Lord. Amen. I sure hope you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin and that he has transformed your life from this moment forward. And I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast. And we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also, you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the Give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.